in last week's parsha, Parshas Vayetze. So Yaakovinu has a dream, his very first nevuah, at the age of 77, while he's lying in Beis El, or possibly the Makom HaMikdash, depending on your pshat of Rashi. He has his very first nevuah. In the nevuah, we all know that he sees a ladder, a sulam, that's Rosh HaMagiyah Shamayma, that's Sulam Mutzav Arza and Rosh HaMagiyah Shamayma, that's going up to the heavens, and Malachi Elohim, Olam Yordim Bo, Malachi Elohim are going up and down the ladder. According to Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, this is a famous medrash, I'm sure you've all heard of it at some point, Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer brings down a Perek Lamed Hey that each one of these malachim that he saw represented a different nation of the world. He saw specifically four malachim. The first malach he saw was the malach above him. Sees the malach above him climb up 70 steps, and then he sees him come down. Then he sees the malach of Paras and Madai, Persian Mede, sees him climb up 52 steps, then he sees the malach come down. He sees the malach of Yavan, malach of Syria, Greece, go up 180 steps. After climbing up 180 steps, much higher than all the others, he sees it come down. And finally, he sees the last malach, the malach of Edom. And he sees him climbing up and up and up, and it seems like he's never going to stop. He goes further and further and further. And Yaakovinu was afraid. He's afraid, and he shook, says the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. And he said, maybe this malach will never come down. Maybe the malach will stay up there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yaakovinu, don't worry. Altira Yaakov, don't be afraid, Yaakov, based on a pasuk in Yeshaya. Don't be afraid, Yaakov. Even if he comes and sits right next to me on the Kisei HaKavod, even if the Malach of Edom sits down right next to me on the Kisei HaKavod, all the way up there, nonetheless, I am going to pick him up and throw him down with my own hands. I'll take care of it when the time comes. It's an unbelievable medrash. Absolutely unbelievable medrash. The Maral speaks about this medrash in Netzach Yisrael, Perek Yud Zayin. And he says, the reason why the first three kingdoms came down on their own, we're talking about Bavel, Persian Mede, Syria, Greece. The reason why they came down on their own is because naturally their kingdoms had a limitation. That they were limited to the nation that they were in charge of, the nation that they were in, and the country that they were from. See, the ideas that were espoused by the Babylonians and then by the Persian Medes and even by the Syrian Greeks were ideas that could only be copied and replicated by the people of those areas. And when Babel was done, when Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar, was killed, there was no one to take over the Babylonian kingdom. There was no one left. There's no one around who could, I guess you could say, further the agenda of what the Babylonians had to offer. So too with Persian Mede, and so too with the Syrian Greeks. That even though Greek philosophy exists in a style even today, that's not the Syrian Greek philosophy. What the Syrian Greeks wanted to take over the entire world, starting with Alexander of Macedonia and leading to the Syrian Greek kingdom, which was the four kings, etc., that idea didn't need to be going any further. It was impossible for them to go any further than that. The 52 years of Persian Mede, the 70 years of Babel, the 180 years of Syria, Greece, was exactly what those nations were naturally able to do. And when they were done, they were done. The Malach came down and that's that. They had power, but they had major issues. They climbed up on their own, but their potential was not very great. Their potential was not to be the leaders of the free world, to rule the world for a long time. That's not true, though, by Edom. The world of Edom is a world of Gashmias. And whenever, and this is maybe for another time, to go into what the point of the Babylonian kingdom, the Persian Mede, and the Yavan kingdom was, but the point of Malchus Edom is to bring Gashmias into this world and get rid of the Ruchnias. The Ruchnias can be there in its own separate box. You do Ruchnias in this box, but you don't bring it out anywhere else. The world is filled with Gashmias. So your world should be filled with Gashmias. And you keep doing everything you can to use that Gashmias to its fullest. Edom is into, in a way, you think of this as Greek ideas of the science of the body and to make your body great. But that wasn't the Syrian Greek. That's what the Romans really came in for. It's about science and growth. Whether that growth is through money and power, which is what the Christian kingdom did for hundreds of years during the Dark Ages, or even now, through scientific discovery and industrial revolution. The idea of Rome is it's about this world. what we can do to make our lives easier, what we can do to make our lives better, and what we can do to make ourselves more important. And that idea is espoused by Edom. It started with Edom. It started with what Esav stood for, to live in a world that was already made for him, and just come into that world and use your ruchnius when you needed it, but allow your gashmius to flow as much as it could. And then it didn't matter which superpower changed hands, which superpower was in charge at that time. Whatever country is on top of the moment, if their point and their raison d'etre, which means their reason for being in this world, is to further the agenda of gashmius first, ruchnius on the bottom, if that's their agenda, that's Malchus Edom. That's the idea of Malchus Edom. So is Edom Eastern Europe? Is Edom France, Germany? Ashkenaz, as they call it back in the day? Is Edom Spain, Portugal? Is it the Catholic Church? Is it Great Britain? Is it the United States of America? Could it become Russia or China? The answer is yes. Technically, yes. It's all Edom. Because they're all espousing the same theories. Maybe in different forms. Maybe in different ways. Maybe it's the money theory versus the scientific theory. Maybe it's one or the other. But they all stand for the same thing. So Edom has been here since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and a little bit before that, since around the year 40-30 of the Common Era, up until now. And even though the Roman Empire is gone, and the emperors are gone, those people are completely gone. Edom is no longer Rome. That's not Edom anymore. But Edom has taken the place in some way, shape, or form, through religion or through country, in some way, this is what it is. Edom cannot be stopped naturally. This is not something where the Malach's going to come down. The potential for Edom to rule the world for thousands of years is there, because it wasn't relegated to one country. Even if Rome does go down, somebody else can take up the cause. Somebody else will do it. It's not about Rome. It's not about the church. It's about something, an idea that Edom represents. And that's the idea. That's the other reason why Amalek is so much different. To destroy Amalek, Amalek doesn't mean a people. We don't even know who they are anymore. Amalek is an idea. It's an ideal that was espoused by Amalek originally, that there is no God. Everything is random. There is suffering. And our job is to destroy that, not people. Because even though there is an Amaleki people, they're no longer existing. Those people that Amalek was are gone. But there's ideas. The ideas of Amalek are still alive today. And the ideas of Amalek we're supposed to destroy. But that's the idea behind it. This world is no natural end. The world that we're in right now is going to keep going. If the U.S. goes down, if the U.S. ends up losing their power, it's no longer a superpower. There will be a superpower. And that superpower will continue to further the agenda of Edom, unless it's Yishmael, which is another story. But that superpower will be there to take over when it happens. And Edom, it'll be there on its own. When Hashem wants this world to end, wants the world of Edom, of Gashmius ruling to end, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu will take the Malach, that Malach who might be sitting on his throne, pretending that he's the Iker behind the entire world, the reason for the whole world to exist. He'll take him off his throne and throw him down. But by itself, it won't happen. By itself, Edom is still going to rule. And that's why it's so difficult. You look at the world today, how is there going to be a natural end to all this? How in the world is Mashiach going to come and convince everybody football's bad? We have scientific proof that football causes brain damage. Brain damage. Irreversible brain damage that causes people to not think or live normal lives afterward. We have proof, and we show it to them. And what does that do? Does it do anything? Is anybody here not willing to watch a football game because you know they're killing themselves? No. No. Maybe someone won't let their kid try out for the football team. I guarantee you that kid wouldn't have made it anyway. People still do it. They don't need that. How is someone going to stop that? How is that naturally going to stop? When the first person dies on the field? Didn't happen. There have been people that have died on the football field and it hasn't happened. So what do you do? It's not a natural thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be involved. We might not be able to see it. We might even realize how it's going to happen. But Mashiach is going to come, and through the siyata d'shmaya, the help that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts in the world, somehow this world's going to end. the world of Edom and Gashmias and everything, the rat race, so to speak, will end. It'll no longer be necessary. Even Yaakov wasn't able to see this. He looks at this dream. He sees the ladder. He can't see Edom's failure. He can't see where Edom falls. He can't see the Malach come down. Notice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry. When the time comes, I'll throw the Malach down. Yaakov didn't see it. He didn't see it. He just knew it would happen. He was guaranteed that it's going to happen. He was promised it's going to happen. But he wasn't told what would be. That's amazing. That's amazing. Whether it's going to be through miraculous intervention, that's Machlokas Ramban and Rambam. Rambam says it'll happen naturally. It'll happen throughout the world. And the world is preparing itself for this. Preparing itself for Mashiach to come. That's one way. Whether it's going to be through supernatural, miraculous intervention, which is the way the Ramban says, if we deserve bi'ita in the proper time, or achi shena, at a time that's quicker, thrown into us, a little bit different. Whether it's Eliyahu and Avi first, and the Mashiach after, or whether it's Mohammed's Gog and Magog, and then, that's it. But it's going to be a direct hit from HaKadosh Baruch Hu onto Edom's battleship. And then it's all gone. Something will happen in which that happens. But even in our world where Edom is Sholit, even then, and our lesson for us now, even though it hasn't happened yet, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has never forgotten us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has never left us. We play an integral role as Jews throughout this kingdom of Edom, throughout the world. Yaakov is always there when Esav is around. And it's not just coincidence that in the greatest superpowers, there have always been Jews there. Always been Jews at the highest echelon of every society. We're always there, in which we're a part of this system, making it there with our decision-making and everything we have. Sometimes good ones, like the Rambam in Egypt. Sometimes you have people that are influential, who are Orthodox, etc. And then sometimes, unfortunately, through bad ones, through Jews that are off, who get up into the society and work then, and everything goes through. The point is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to muzzle Edom, to be able to take them down a little bit, even in this natural world that they've created for themselves, in which we can still survive, and not just survive, but thrive, and live our lives the way we're supposed to. We say in Megillah, Daf Vav Amud Aleph, Malei Hein Yotz, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Edom to go throughout the world, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed them to go out, Machrim Nitz Kol Olam Kula, they would destroy the entire world. Now what do you mean? We just said that the whole world is going to naturally keep going. It's going to happen this way. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets involved, right? There's no natural end to this world. What it means is the following. There's no natural way to stop Edom in this world. But there is one thing Edom can do to cause the world to self-destruct. If Edom is allowed to do what they do, to allow their hatred to take the forefront and do things that make no sense in order to get rid of their main enemy, which is us, if Hitler, Yimach Shemo, was able to go through with his entire plan, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't help stop him, had that happened, then the world would have self-destructed. There would be no Jews left. If the whole world would have gone down with it, then Edom can destroy themselves. Tamos nafshim aplishtim. They're willing to kill themselves along with their enemies. That's what could happen. And it's a tremendous chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem doesn't allow that to happen. That we're still here, and not only here, we're thriving. So what does Hashem do? Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina says, on that Gemara, on Amud Beis, in Megillah, says, there are 300, I don't know how you want to put it, kings, like leaders, throughout Rome. There are another 365 duchsim, princes, that exist throughout Rome. Every single day they go out and they wage war with one another. They wage war, some are killed, and they spend the rest of their time trying to make another king, trying to bring somebody in to take over his place, etc. Hashem keeps the world busy with so many crazy things that we're forgotten about, that we're on the back burner in all of these people's minds. And Baruch Hashem, Rome is created to have been 300 kings and 365 princes. There are first world countries, there are second world countries, there are third world countries that all have the same ideas as Edom, that are all within the same realm of where Edom is. And they fight each other, even though they really stand for the same thing. And if they only realized that their job as Edom is to knock down the Jews, if they only realized that, they would forget about all their fights and just take us down. But they don't. Instead, they fight, whether that's physically in war, whether that's monetarily through trade wars, whether it's through strange taxation policies, whatever they want to do. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps them busy doing their own things so that we can survive. And this continues to happen until HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows Mashiach to come in and take over. He makes peace through everyone, but between everyone, allows the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come up together, and as we said before, to bring the world to a level where we're at peace, where there's shalom between everyone together. And our job is to remember this at all times, that no matter what happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always going to be with us, on a Klali level and a Prati level, meaning in a general form, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with all Jews as one, as long as we act that way. And on a Prati level, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking me. He may seem like he's far away. He may seem like he doesn't care whatsoever. But that's not it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Yaakov, you know, not only am I there, I will be there to take care of you throughout the time until I throw down that Malach of Edom from the heavens. That's the Ushmarticha b'chol asher teilech in last week's parsha. I'm going to take care of you. And that obviously leads to, it segues into this week's parsha of the first meeting between Yaakov and Esav, in which you see Yaakov and Esav meeting each other after being gone for 22 years, well, technically 37 years. You see this meeting between them, and now you have an idea of what's going on. Where Edom's saying, I want to be with you. Elcha l'negdecha, I'll go opposite you. I'll be with you. I want to be around. And Yaakov says, when the time comes, I'm going to meet you on Har Seir. When the time comes, I'll meet you there. I don't want to have anything to do with you. I'll do my own thing. You do your thing. You're going to take over the world for a while, Edom, Esav. You're going to take over the world. It's going to be yours for a while. And then we'll talk again at the very end. That'll be the end of it. Next week, we're going to have to discuss the ramifications of such a relationship. How Mashiach seems to come from the gates of Rome itself, for those who know the Gemara with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. What does that Gemara mean? How do we bring about that idea from the gates of Rome? And how does that apply to us today? There are no gates of Rome. There's no gates of Rome that Mashiach can come from. So what does the Gemara mean? That Mashiach is standing by the gates of Rome and bandaging and taking off his bandage and bandaging himself. Next week, we're going to have to discuss how does that work based on this Gemara and Sanhedrin, Sarichas, and Ksuvis. How does that work within our world that we have today? Stop with that, guys. Have a great day.